in particular resonates with the thought today, and as far as sand is concerned, you know, doesn't take much. Just a little grain can cause a lot of problems. A little problem. But anyway, where am I trying to find? Let's open these up first. One page. That's it. I only get one page of notes today. But before we do, again, all this is, it's very, this is an awesome responsibility and privilege to open God's Word. And I believe this is what God wants. It's not what I had intended. But I believe for the day and for my heart, and I pray yours as well, that He'll show us His self. Show us ourselves. You know, take this book, use it for a mirror. Yeah. And don't forget what you saw when you turn away. Yeah. But we'll get to reference here in a little bit. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this day, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God would work through Your Word, through these words, not mine but Yours. Thank You, dear God, for eyes to see, ears to hear, a tongue to taste and teeth to chew, hands to work and feet to walk. But Lord, all these labors, all these things will be in vain if it's not for Christ. Lord, meet with us this time, this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, the thought that I just wanted to express to bring to you today is dealing with restrictions. And restrictions encompasses many different things, many different areas, and we'll look at a couple. Restrictions is not a Bible word, if per se, but is a principle that's found in throughout. It's not necessarily akin to restraint, but to some degree it is. Restraint, the word restraint is found in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 6 tells us that God is, there is no restraint to the Lord to save. His hand is not waxed weak. His arm is not waxed short. God doesn't have it. He doesn't have restraint in that regards. As far as the idea of restraint is the idea of hindrance. Kind of encompasses parallel thought with restrictions. Restrictions. We think of so many things could run through your head and run through mine, and I've got half a page of notes just on restrictions. We think of restrictions can be for our betterment. It will allow you access to different places or deny you access into different places. We think about a few years ago, we remember 5 days from today, there was an event that took place in our country. Some of you weren't even born then. But I remember it vividly, especially because we lived about an hour south of Washington, D.C. When the Pentagon was bombed, if you will, with an airplane and the Twin Towers in New York City, and then the field where the plane crashed in Pennsylvania. There were many restrictions that we encountered after that. It was eerily quiet because where I worked, my truck shop was right on a big river, looking onto a river, which is just not a couple miles up from a big Navy air base, and there were no jets flying. There's no air traffic. No boats were allowed to be on the water whatsoever, and people made their living out on that water. But they were restricted in their travel. Fast forward a few years to COVID. Now I don't know exactly how it all worked down this way, and we were starting to migrate down and starting to build back during that time. But I know back our way up in Maryland, If you didn't have paperwork, you weren't out. You better not be caught on the roads after a certain time of night. They had restrictions on how many people they allowed in Walmart. They would stand at the door and you waited. When you went into a grocery store, they had arrows as far as how you could navigate through the grocery store. I don't know if they did that down here or not. But there were restrictions. Now, of course, there was a lot of unknowns back during that time. And they were, whatever, paranoid one way or the other. But there was a lot of restrictions. You know, and restrictions aren't necessarily a bad thing. It can be like an umbrella. It's like boundaries. My wife used to love it years ago. I mean, now we don't get the calls. But, you know, she'd get the calls that during the daytime somebody was soliciting for money. They want a donation, charitable contribution, whatever, yada, yada, yada. She says, no, I can't. You got to talk to my husband. There were certain restrictions. Not that she was hindered in that regards, but we didn't make decisions as far as who we supported individually. We did that corporately. There were boundaries. There were restrictions that were established and to be maintained. And as a child of God, we have certain restrictions also. And one of those things that restricts access is, like, I was thinking, like, I was trying to take a nap out there in the car, and it didn't work. So don't y'all take my place, please. I didn't bring any rocks. But I was thinking, it's like, you know, if I were to pull up to this, to the build, up to the church tomorrow morning and to try to come in, my access would be restricted because I can't get through that door. A door is an object, whether it be sliding or swinging, that gives access or denies access to. I don't have the key. I don't have a code or whatever the case. I don't need that. But I couldn't get in because I didn't have access to be able to do that. That door was not available to me. John chapter 10, if you will, please. So we see that a restrictive device is a door. Verily, verily, verse 1, John chapter 10. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, just a side note, you know, we talk about different things. Some of us, you know, it's like as far as pastors, people that we've known through the years, you know, a pastor, he doesn't push the sheep. What does it say? He leads them out and they follow. Whole lot of difference. Especially younger people, if you were to move away to different areas, you need to discern that as far as the spirit of a church. But anyway, verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that might have it more abundantly. We see here that the access into God's heaven, as John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Very simplistic. But heaven is restricted territory. It's more guarded than the Area 51. It's more protected than many of the buildings and many. And I'm sure there's many government facilities that we don't know about. I know they are. But your restriction, you just couldn't casually just walk in and say, "Hi, how you doing, Sam?" You know, and even if his name wasn't Sam, and keep right on going in. It's not going to happen. I've been to places where they had to unlock the doors for you to go in. I've been into places where they had to unlock the doors so you could go out. There were restrictions in place. Jesus, if you will, is saying that as the door, I am the restriction. I restrict what comes in. Now we know that that once you're a child of God, there's not being an unchild of God. You know, that doesn't happen. But Jesus is that device. He is that restrictive device that just not everybody, just because you're born, just because you're eating, you're breathing God's air, doesn't mean you're a child of God. And it's eternally important to know, for without a shadow of a doubt, that heaven is your home. One particular verse that we use many times casually in Revelation 3, verse 20. And I don't want to misquote it, so I bookmarked it. It says here that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man come into me," what does it say? "If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Now, many times we use that verse for evangelistic illustration and purposes. And that's good. All fine and dandy. It's good realizing that that door, God says, I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to just force my way in. It's not that you have no choice or no say in the matter as far as eternal salvation. They say, "Okay, yeah, I see God's plan. I know my need, but I don't want any parts of it." Well, that's your choice. But we also see here, it's an idea of fellowship. We're not going to have fellowship with God if there are restrictions in our life that would hinder it. I did mechanic work, abused my body for many years with heavy equipment and big trucks. And there were many things that kept reoccurring in different forms and the destructive nature that it would have. And there was one particular incident. I'm going to give you a few examples. There was a truck that came in, and I faced this many different times, with low power. It couldn't get out of its own way. You know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it. It just wouldn't climb a hill. Of course, we didn't have big hills, you know, up there. But it couldn't pull a load. Well, one of the first things you do, check the air filter. I also did a lot of side work for a farmer, a grain farmer. So they were always out in the field, very dusty conditions, whether they were combine, whether they were harvesting a crop, or whether they were plowing, whether they were planting, whatever the situation was, a farm tractor or tractor trailer or whatever it was. If it was off the road, it was in dusty, dirty conditions, guaranteed. It was crucial every day to pull that air filter out and clean it out. And it wasn't big hunks of rock that were in there that would restrict that would reduce the power or reduce the capability of that motor to run to what it should be. It was that sand. It was that fine, small particulate. Little bit at a time, little bit by little bit, and I could tell you many stories about how the conditions that we see. I mean, you just take one out and you put air, compressed air into it, and it just be clouds of dust. It was restricted. But many times there was a gauge. I don't know if the trucks you drive, if you have a restrictive gauge. Many times in the dash, in the gauge of the cab of the truck, there's a gauge that says has restriction on it. So as it got dirty, as that filter got dirtier and dirtier and dirtier, the needle on that would, one way or the other, doesn't matter, your left, my right, would move to give an indication that it was getting clogged up. It needs to be serviced. What about me? What about you? Sometimes we just have that little bit of sand, those little bit of particulates. They stack up. They add up. They restrict our ability to breathe. Or they restrict our power that we need to live in our daily lives. Another area, another thing that I had seen many, many times, dealt with fuel. And especially in the wintertime for some crazy reason, but it would happen where the fuel filters would get clogged up. And it wasn't necessarily with trash, and that happened a lot. You know, when you'd have gunk that gets down in the fuel tanks, and you'd have to drain the tank and clean them out and all that stuff. But water. Water was a big contaminant. Fuel does not flow through water. Doesn't do it. I don't care if it's gasoline or diesel. Doesn't matter. It was a restriction. The option you have, the only thing you do, take that filter off, put a new one on. There was a restriction. What about the fuel that we're putting into our bodies? What about the fuel that we're putting into our hearts? What about the fuel that we're drinking from? Is it contaminated? Is it diluted? Is it restricted? As well. I had a trailer one time, low boy trailer, which is a type of trailer that's not high off the ground so that you could put big equipment onto it and haul it and carry it to different places. And the brakes wouldn't work right. I looked at that trailer, looked at the brakes, and nothing was easy to work on. You had to jack it up in the air just to slide up underneath of it. And you could apply the brakes. They were air actuated, compressed air caused the brakes to work. Not like your car, which is liquid. But anyway, they would apply, and they wouldn't release. We hunted from one end of that 50 some odd foot trailer to the other end. What is the problem here? Well, where the trailers hook up to the back of a truck, there's two air lines, and on one of them, a bug had gotten inside of it and crawled down several feet and built a little nest. It was a restriction. Brakes didn't work right because of that restriction. Now, once we cleaned it out, it was like a brand new trailer. What about us? Sometimes we can't apply the brakes in our lives. When we have a red flag that comes up or something that the devil is presented to you, whether it be a form of some type of temptation, and your brakes don't work right. It's restricted because something's clogging it. The line, the power, the from the supply source is restricted because of some foreign matter. Restrictions don't have to be big. They don't have to be something suspendous. I had a lantern, a camping lantern one time. I still have it. It's a propane fire, a two-mantle thing made by Coleman. Bright, bright light. Wonderful thing. You could run, I don't know how many hours just on one little bottle of propane. And we're going to go away on a trip one time, go camping as a family. And so I get this different equipment out, and I'll check it out to be sure everything's okay. Because When you're out on a campsite, that's not the time to find out that your batteries in the flashlight don't work. Okay? It's like pre-tripping your truck, right? You check your stuff out ahead of time. So I'm checking out the lantern. We hadn't used it in a while. Put a bottle into it, light it up, and it just wouldn't take off. You know, it just was a dull light. I pulled that thing apart. Now, there's nothing really high-tech with a lantern, with a propane lantern. There's not. I thought, well, I mean, the globe is clean. I've got good gas. Maybe try another bottle. You know, the mantles aren't torn. It's like something's wrong here. So, okay, so I managed to get a hold of a different regulator. I said, maybe it's a fuel regulator, you know, it's just not right. So that could happen. So I changed the regulator in it, still nothing. So what in the world? So I pull it totally down this time, which I should have done the first time. And in the center of this thing is a tube, which allows the air to come in from the outside and come down through where the mantles are. Well, I blew through it before, and Eric went through it. But I took it apart this time, and I looked. And there were some cobwebs inside that tube. There's a cobweb. Harmless little cobweb. But it was enough restriction that it would not allow the air to flow properly for that lantern to light. It doesn't take much of a restriction. Every day, search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Cleanse me, O Lord. Restrictions. Restrictions can cause a loss of power, can cause a loss of being able to stop when we need to stop. It can also cause us that we're not the light that we need to be. It was in John or Matthew chapter 5, and I'll turn to it. Jesus is telling his disciples, telling those in his hearing, but tells us as well today that we are a light. We are to be as a verse 14. Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You can't be that light if you've got restriction, restricting the airflow into your life. You can't be that light if you've got something that is clogging that fuel so that you're not getting the adequate amount of fuel that you need to move forward or to shine for Him. You can't be that light if you don't have that power, if you've got a dirty air filter. God says that in the book of Psalms 66:18, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, what is the rest of it? God will not hear us. It doesn't take much. And I'm saying this, I'm preaching to me. It doesn't take a big thing, but little particulates, small matters, they build up and they can have huge, huge consequences. Restrictions. It's just like in our bodies. Things build up unknowingly in our bloodstream, whether it could be heavy metals and many, many other things. There are ways that we can eliminate that. Most of it, through some types of supplements, you can chelate, you can get rid of, expel some of that stuff. We can detox our bodies. But what are we bringing in? What are we putting into this vessel? It makes a difference. to make it, whether we're restricted, whether they were clogged, whether there are blockages. They won't cause you to lose your salvation, but they will as far as fellowship. When you ever get in a situation where you need to hear from God, you know God needs to hear from you. I mean, He knows that every day. But you need to have an assurance that you have that open line of communication. You need to have it, be able to do it immediately, not, okay, wait a minute, I got to get cleaned up here first. I got to spend half a day or a week or a month, confessing up. It's like I've been listening to some different video excerpts from Brother David Gibbs. He's a lawyer, grew up on a farm in Ohio. A lot of practical applications. He said he was in a court case one time with Brother Lester Olof. Things were not going well. And anyway, long story short, Brother Roloff says, we need to get clean. We need to be clean. And before they go back into the courtroom. And anyway, he says the two of them got alone, together, but they got to praying and got to confessing and got to cleaning things out. Brother Gibbs said he was shocked, some of the stuff he heard from Brother Roloff. And he was thinking of all these different things. God kept bringing them up to mind. But the point was, they needed to be clean. Now, they ended up winning the case. But that's beside the point. God just worked in a miraculous way. But he quoted a reference that Brother D.L. Moody would mention more times than not to the congregations wherever he was preaching. Don't leave this place unless you're clean. And I beseech you the same thing. We'll be done here in just a moment. If you're not clean, this is the time. I'm not open for an open invitation per se or altar call, but between you and God, are you clean? Are there restrictions in your life? Are there hindrances to God's working? Are you clean? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. I pray, dear God, that you would just bear fruit for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.